You're on your classic It's Breakfast with Jordan Curtis. And exercise is extremely important for our general health and well-being, but it can also help out if you are a woman and you are dealing with certain health conditions. I'm joined by, well, woman, Lisa Parkinson, an exercise expert. Lisa, how are you?
Yeah, great. Thanks, Jordan. How are you?
I'm pretty good, thanks. So what kind of conditions are we looking at with exercise?
Yeah, so we're going to go through four conditions today. And some of these are conditions that people might not necessarily think that exercise can help with, but it can play a part in helping people to live better with these conditions. So the first one is polycystic ovary syndrome, or sometimes referred to as PCOS. And it's the most common endocrine or what we call hormonal condition among women in Australia. And symptoms are caused by an imbalance of hormones, mostly insulin, estrogen and androgens within the female body. And so that can cause a variety of symptoms for females, including insulin resistance, irregular or missed periods, and also difficulty with fertility, difficulty maintaining or losing weight. Also, mental health conditions are closely associated with this, so anxiety, depression and mood disturbances. And then also they're at an increased risk of cardiovascular disease as well.
All right, so how does exercise help?
Yeah, so lifestyle interventions such as changes to nutrition and exercise are the first line treatment for females living with PCOS. So exercise is really great. So it can help with increasing the effectiveness of insulin in the body and reducing blood glucose levels. It can help to manage mental health and emotional well-being. It can help with energy levels and reducing inflammation, weight management, and then also reducing their cardiovascular disease risk as well. So good, yeah, lots of good things.
What kind of age group does PCOS usually affect?
So it can be throughout the lifespan, but more so younger females. It's kind of picked up early on, although people can go along with it and not knowing that they have it necessarily until they might have fertility issues or something like that. Then it can be identified then.
Right. Okay, so that's PCOS. What's next?
Yeah, so endometriosis is the second one. So this affects up to 1 in 10 women in Australia. However, again, like there is a delay in diagnosis of 5 years or more. Often with endometriosis, people just, kind of get put down to other conditions or symptoms. So endometriosis occurs when the endometrial cells grow outside the uterus, where they would normally be found. And the tissues behave as it would inside the uterus and can cause inflammation, pain, digestive difficulty and bleeding.
Yeah, you do often hear that doctors don't tend to want to diagnose endo, or they don't tend to acknowledge it.
Yeah, well, I guess it's difficult. I guess it could be the symptoms could be pointing to a number of different things. So it's hard to know, I suppose, until they have that, more of an invasive kind of investigation.
So how does exercise help?
Yeah, so again, as part of a multidisciplinary team, your exercise physiologist can help you to manage your endo and its symptoms by relaxing hypertonic or tight muscle groups, such as the pelvic floor, hip flexors, abdominals and glute muscles. Help with pain management as well, kind of increasing mobility, can help to reduce cramping, it can help to manage fatigue and energy levels, and again, assist in managing mental health and mood as well. It's really good. We get those great hormones and endorphins flowing after exercise, which can boost our mood.
And so we're halfway through the list now. What's number three?
Yeah, number three is breast cancer. So breast cancer is the most common cancer among females in Australia, and it affects up to 1 in 7 women. So most of us have known or talked to somebody with breast cancer. And it's hugely important during cancer treatment to exercise, as it can help manage many treatment-related side effects. And some of these side effects which females get as part of their treatment are fatigue, cardiovascular concerns, again, mood and mental health, and also poor sleep and reduced energy levels.
Right.
So exercise, as I said, can really help with this population group as well. So it's shown to be effective, and it's now considered to be an essential inclusion in standard care for breast cancer. So basically, if someone's undertaking breast cancer treatment, the oncologist will now always kind of refer them to do some exercise as well. And so, keeping up with exercise during the treatment and then also post-treatment can also help to greatly improve one's quality of life. So we're improving their cardiovascular fitness, their strength, and again, mental health. Reduce their reoccurrence of cancer, can help with regaining range of motion through the chest and shoulder, and help with building strength back up following surgical treatment as well.
And I guess depending on the type of treatment, just working up the energy to exercise, it can be, I'm sure, difficult in itself. So it's not a matter of, doing your full-on exercise, but what you can.
Yeah, that's right. So we always chat to our ladies when they come in, how are you feeling today? And we always adjust their exercise program accordingly and ask them again how they're feeling at the end. And also with any cancer treatment and around exercise, it's always something is better than nothing. So if they come in and they can only do, 10, 15 minutes, that's okay. That's all right. We've just got to do what we can do when we can do it.
No worries. And on to the last but not least condition.
Yeah, so number four is osteoporosis, so bone health. So osteoporosis and its precursor, which is osteopenia, affects one in four women over the age of 75, but it also does affect men too. And so these conditions refer to low bone density. So this occurs when the body is breaking down bone tissue, which is actually a normal process, but it's breaking it down faster than the body can replace it, which is not so normal. So this is particularly common as women age and with changes starting in the perimenopausal phase or even earlier, and those with a history of perhaps an eating disorder or menstrual irregularity. So women with osteoporosis are at a higher risk of fracture should they fall and hurt themselves.
And I guess that's where exercise comes in, maybe balance to avoid hurting yourself or just to strengthen the bones?
Yeah, both. That's right. So anyone with osteoporosis, we do want to make sure that we're trying to improve their balance, but if they were to be a little bit off balance or unstable, that they might be able to prevent themselves from having a fall. And then the other thing is that strength is also related to our balance. So if we have strong lower limb muscles, then that can help us as well. But then apart from those two things with the balance, it's also exercise has been shown to actually help to improve bone density. So there are certain strength training exercises and with good technique and high load, we can actually have an impact on improving bone density, along with some impact exercises, which depending on the stage of osteoporosis might just be some jumping or something like that as well.
No worries. Well, Lisa, thank you so much for chatting today.
You're welcome. Thanks, Jordan.
That was Lisa Parkinson, accredited exercise physiologist on your Classic It's Breakfast.